going to the hurry up offense.
Jake Shum the hold. Left hash mark. 51 yard. Field goal attempt. Snap. Placement. Kick to the uprights. And it is right down the middle. It is good. And the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
Ryan in the shotgun with Coleman to his left. Drops to throw once more. Dances to the left. Throws for the end zone. Wide open. Tevin Coleman slides for the touchdown.
Kickoff from Nick Novak from left to right. End over end. Deion Lewis is the deep man. He'll take it from the two near side. Lewis to the 20. He's got blazing speed. 30-yard line. Lewis low down at the 35. Lewis to the 40. Lewis crosses midfield. Far side. It's a foot race. And nobody's going to catch Deion Lewis. 98 yards for the touchdown.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program presented by McDonald's. McCafe, wake up, win the day. $1 coffee, any size, mochas for $2. Studio 66, chock full of electricity and people. Ike Taylor, Handsome Hank, Cynthia Freeland will say proper hellos in just a minute. It's time for, I guess it's fitting, the Andy Reid style 2-minute drill. Little bit, not especially aggressive there.
That's a long 2 minutes we're about to have.
I know, that's true. All right, let's jump into it here. We have the title games to review, if you guys haven't heard. Only 3 games left in the season. It makes me feel sad. I'm excited, though, for the events coming up on Sunday night. Let's start here. If you take away the 4 QBs that have reached the championship round here, who has the best roster? I start with you, Ike Taylor.
Big Ben. Steelers, I'm sorry. Steelers got the best roster all day.
Offensive line playing great. Defense rounding.
A very underrated offensive line. You got a defense and the emergence of Bud Dupree. We've been talking about a lot of these, Artie Burns and Sean Davis. Bud Dupree is now the new Debo for the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Matter of fact, let's talk about Debo and him aging like fine wine.
They don't need a new one.
So you win the ball game, you land at 4 o'clock, what I do at 38? I go straight to the weight room and get my workout in, then get ready for practice in the meetings.
That's crazy. Bud Dupree is the leader in the locker room, not just
Bud Dupree is not the leader, the enforcer. So now we have a new sheriff in town. You know, and that's Bud Dupree. So Debo kind of passed the torch to Bud, and Bud took it. He's taking it and running with it all day. Just watch the latest games, Bud Dupree. He's been causing havoc not only on the run games,
for sure,
but in the passing game too. So we talked about this yesterday. I look at Bud Dupree like a Lamar Woodley, a more athletic version than Lamar Woodley was. He's very good at stopping the run, and he can bull rush you all day if he wants to, and he can get finesse you if he needs to as a pass rusher. So the emergence of Bud Dupree is key for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Handsome Hank, best roster when you take the QBs away.
Well, I agree with Ike, so can I tell you who I think's number two, unless Cynthia wants to pitch for another team as number one?
Cynthia?
I do not want to pitch for another.
You're going to go for the Pittsburgh Steelers as well.
You could legitimately go down the Wildcat and have Lev Bell.
I don't think it's. I don't.
And we forgot D'Angelo Williams sitting on the sideline.
Right, right.
Yeah, that
right.
is something that he yeah. hasn't. That he has not even made it out onto the field now.
26 is in a zone.
I hear you, man.
Handsome, the Matrix.
Who's the second most talented?
So my second most talented is the team with the bird on their head.
With the what on their head?
With the bird.
The bird.
The bird.
Well, what? How am I supposed to say that word?
The bird.
The bird. Yeah. With the burr on their head. The Falcons. I think they have the second most talented roster of all the teams that are remaining.
Well, they do have some exciting young pieces on the defensive side, don't they?
Yeah, I really like. I'll tell you who I love is Deion Jones. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere.
I like Keanu Neal. I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. I want to make one little Packers note. Between Mike Daniels and Julius Peppers and what that defense is able to do, especially with a lot of banged up corners all season long, I think it's been pretty impressive. The turnover differential, the amount of havoc they're creating on opposing offenses, that defense is, again, I've been a big Mike Daniels fan, number 76, if you want to watch their D-line, really great player. And, of course, you love Julius Peppers. He's been fun to watch for a decade. So, you know, both of those two have been really interesting. Their ability to create turnovers has been a huge difference maker.
We'll dig in further on both these games, by the way, with a guy who was on the Packers and the Falcons, A.J. Hawk, a Shecky Award winner on more than one occasion as our favorite football talking guest. He's one of only three jerseys retired on the digital wall of fame there, along with Ike Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew.
Hanging with all your championship banners.
Yeah, right. That's what. Yeah, that's what. Well, also, yeah, I have Lemieux's jersey.
I know, I was about to
and
say.
And the Jenga banner.
Lemieux.
Let's move on to the next question here in the hurry up. What was, out of the four victories we saw, Handsome Hank, what was the least impressive?
Ooh,
that's a
Steelers
tough one.
Barely survive in KC. Mm-hmm. Don't score a touchdown.
Yeah.
The Falcons whip the Seahawks.
Yeah, it's not the Falcons. I mean, the Patriots didn't look as good as you'd expect the Patriots to against that. You know, that Texans game was the one that people was a foregone conclusion before mm-hmm. this weekend, and it was closer than people expected. So I'm going to say that of them all, I would say that the Patriots win was least impressive just because of the expectation that there
well,
was.
And they get a special teams touchdown, which
right.
counts as much as anything else. But when you get those extra points, if you take it away, then it's an 11-point yep. victory. The Texans defense is undoubtedly mighty, though. Freeland, least impressive.
It's really hard to say a game in weather is – you can't – I mean, that weather that was kind of interesting. The cool stat that I have on there, actually, it's from Elias. They told us, they went back through history in all of playoff games. No team in the playoffs has ever won when the other team scores two touchdowns and they score none. So it's historically mm-hmm. interesting from that perspective. Not being able to get into the end zone with that cast of characters, though, is concerning. You know, I don't think it's bad or it's not. It was not as impressive as, you know, watching Aaron, and plus it's coming off of Aaron Rodgers, like just dicing up, you know, this last drive. So it felt maybe less impressive just based on the fact that, you know, the other two were big margins of victory. And then you have this giant, like, Cowboys and Packers game that ends so dramatically. And then you're like, okay, then now we go to the rain and, like, grind it out football. So
I really, there would be some games that would be concerning to me that the Steelers couldn't get a touchdown there. I thought it was a little wonky. The Roethlisberger pick, that was a bad decision to check out of the run play on first down there by Roethlisberger. Rod Tomlin should have gone for it in the first possession of the game. The thing that rises up to me is, one, the defense did a good job, and two, I mean, Chris, it's funny to think in a season that probably goes down as the worst in kicking history, that Sunday, divisional round Sunday, by the way, the entire divisional round, the kickers didn't miss any extra points right. or any field goals.
It's clutch.
But, I mean, Boswell,
and there was some big ones.
Six.
Went back to Cincinnati. He relapsed in Cincinnati.
That's
like,
right.
I need to do the same thing I did in Cincinnati.
but were the three kicks made in the last 90 seconds in Dallas, could you make a case? I mean, they were all over, 52 and longer.
Yeah.
Are those the three most clutch kicks, save Vinatieri winning the Super Bowl, in the Super Bowl era?
Nah.
No,
it has to be.
Given the stakes and the distance,
he set it up. He did the little smile. He's like,
games.
Nah.
The chances are you'll say the same thing after this weekend's games. One of those games will be won by a last minute kick.
There have been bigger kicks missed.
There have been bigger kicks made.
If Boswell do the same thing he did this week, like he did last week, and they wind up winning the game, cool. He still handles his business. But if he does that in the Super Bowl.
I'll tell you what, though. But, I mean, to try and defend my point, Mason Crosby, I thought Mike McCarthy, I couldn't tweet it quickly enough, in fact, before he kicked the first one through to take the lead before mm-hmm. Dan Bailey tied the game. 56 yards. I mean, I thought this – what are you doing, McCarthy? You
right.
can't kick this ball here. It's a 56-yard. You're going to give the ball to Dallas, and they're going to have to make one first down and move on.
That thing hit the net, too.
Yes,
56
did.
Yards. Hit the bottom of the net.
And that last one just squeaked in. We just saw the video at the front.
Burley.
Maybe this is something where people, you know, we talk about home field advantage a lot. Maybe it's good they were inside because the likelihood of kicking a 56-yarder in cold Lambeau
outside,
would have been
yeah.
a lot harder. So maybe,
Vinatieri in the snow.
That one.
Making that one to force the overtime.
That's.
The Super Bowl winner by Vinatieri. I'm really not sure what kicks you're talking about that rival the significance of this one. I mean, Billy Cundiff's miss in the AFC title game was monumental.
Wasn't there a Matt Barr game
Scott
winner,
Norwood's
game winner
miss was
in
big.
A championship game?
I mean, there have been. I'm talking about over 50 yards.
No, we're talking about the Super Bowl, though, bro.
You said that thing, and then you regretted saying it, and now you're defending it.
And you know, Shaq tried to paint his own picture.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he tried to be Picasso, then buy his own painting.
Right.
Can't do it.
Be like, hey, that Picasso guy's great.
even though it's a shot at me, it makes me laugh. All right. Lastly, you know, Dave. Another thing about Dave Damashek is that.
Go
like,
on, talk a third person.
Is it that you always predict the Steelers' record? Is that what you
for the past 5 years?
Did anyone know Damashek predicted the Steelers' record?
No,
wants a parade.
I've
he
asked
wants
for
a parade.
My parade many right. times. I have yet to get a parade, and yeah, I have correctly identified with the Steelers.
By the way,
now for something I got wrong, because that's that. If you really want to know the three-dimensional Damashek, Ike and company.
Which dimension are we operating in?
Like the late great Jerry Orbach says at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And I was wrong about one Matt Ryan. I said in the preseason, do we actually have a clip of that? MVP behind the glass? Let's hear it. He's one pass in the red zone away from getting to a Super Bowl. And now I think we can make a pretty strong case. He's the fourth best quarterback in his own division. By end of the year, I think we will all be saying that.
Ooh,
right?
Who are you talking
to?
Yeah,
I think for sure.
That was Will Brinson, the great writer.
He looks very animated.
Yeah.
Well, listen. What about that, Cynthia Freeland? First of all, so Matt Ryan is probably going to be the MVP now, it seems, and he was dynamite against the Seahawks without Earl Thomas, notwithstanding a great performance. I do think, though, I'm going to defend myself before I allow you.
Go for it.
Wait, you're
right.
I'm wrong.
Let me just say this.
Wait, it's not that
crazy, because if we did a draft for 2017, kick it down the road by 7 months, who are you drafting? Draft them in order in that division. Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan. It's really not that crazy still, right? It's a good quarterback league. I mean, quarterback division.
Wait, what?
But I was wrong. Matt Ryan's dynamite.
So this segment isn't about you saying you were wrong.
I meant
– Or it no, is about
it
you
It was
saying
intended
you were
to be about me saying
but
I'm
actually,
wrong, but as I'm thinking it
wrong.
Through. No, I'm still wrong. I'm still wrong.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
You're still wrong. Sure. Yes.
Go ahead. Put them in order for me, Freeland.
Oh, gosh.
Well,
Put those four guys in order.
And you're going from one to four, not four to
right.
one. Just
Correct.
To be clear.
I'm just saying, they have four good quarterbacks in that mm-hmm. division. That's all.
I mean, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Jameis Winston.
Okay.
Last two I could switch around.
All right, so it's September 27.
Because Jameis Winston's going up and we're seeing.
It's September 2017. You're telling me you would take Matt Ryan over Cam Newton for the season?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ike? Drew Brees?
I'm going Cam.
I am too. That's exactly.
No, I'm taking Cam over Matty Ice because I feel like I can put Cam in any offense and he'll make it work for me. Any offense. I don't know.
Except the one he was in.
Somehow I've turned this back into an indictment of Matt Ryan. But I mean, you have Hall of Famer Drew Brees.
I like Drew. That's a great quarterback division.
It is a great quarterback.
It's not like we're fighting, in theory,
you could toss them all up in anyone in any order. Like if Kyle Shanahan leaves the Falcons, you could very easily be sitting here a year from now with the opposite of this, being I was right.
I'll say this too. We're prisoners of the moment by definition. We just saw him play great in the divisional round. If the Packers defeat the Falcons this week and Matt Ryan does not...
It doesn't
not,
take anything away from what Matt Ryan did for the last
that's
20
easy
weeks.
To say. That's easy to say, but you know how history works. I mean, you're a footnote if you... It'll be the MVP and everything, but...
Right now, you got two.
You're making this argument, and you could say the same thing about Cam Newton, right? Last
Certainly.
Year,
yes.
Last year, sitting at this point, he was like, oh my God, right. rushes out
MVP,
of zone read, blah, blah,
right.
blah. Like all these amazing stats about him. I mean, the same thing I can be like, hey, Matt Ryan's passer rating out of the pocket, whatever all of these stats say. But the point being is like, you know, Cam Newton did not have the year this year that you would have sitting here right now said... forecasted that he would have had, correct. Right? You have to look at, you know, the cast of characters around him, what the situation is. So I guess my point is in that division, it's a little bit
toss
of
up.
I completely
could even say
agree.
Jameis Winston could somehow leapfrog
right.
all of them next
That's
year
right.
with Mike Evans. So it's not like, you know.
Right. But you know, I guess the point that we have discussed.
No, the point really, I'm trying to get see where you at.
I want to know.
This went all the way left.
Right, you're right. Yeah, I know. I didn't mean it to. I really did mean
it. Take down Jerry Orbach for a start. His legacy is being destroyed.
You're right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to you, Jerry. Don't give me that look. You make me feel guilty, Jerry.
You just need to say this year you're wrong about that one.
Yeah.
But in this
I'm wrong about that, but I do stand by.
When I'm wrong, I say I'm right.
The larger point, I know, this has gotten bad. I've gotten a lot of tweets from Falcons fans who are feeling it right now.
Just say you're wrong, and let's go to the next topic, bro. Yeah.
I will say, though, that as you know, Joe Flacco's legacy is now very different.
Just say you're wrong.
Why
do we get to Joe Flacco now?
Because if you make a run.
Everywhere.
All right. You know what?
Just say you're wrong.
Just
say
this
you're
wrong.
Just say you're wrong. Please,
we're off to a flying start. Let's start the show.
He won't even say he's wrong.
Yes, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Damn it.
When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong.
Program presented by McDonald's McCafe here in Studio 66. We're getting right. We're getting you right. For the championship,
we try to live right in Studio 66.
I'm sad we only have three games left, though. It makes it, you know, it sneaks up on you, kind of. And yet, on the other hand, doesn't it feel like? I mean, forever ago, the Carson Wentz thing and Jimmy Garoppolo and why he's really good and what's it? What you know? Is he gonna
don't worry, you're going to be able to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo pretty soon, right? Like, where's he going?
Where is he going? Chicago Bears?
No. I don't know. I have no clue where he's going.
Handsome Hank. Speculate recklessly. That's what
I love
like.
I really do love to do that. Let's say the 49ers.
The 49ers?
Not anymore.
If Josh McDaniels
would have gone there, then that would have been a fun conspiracy. I think you see somewhere like, I don't know, who has some good cash flow? The 49ers do have some good cash flow.
How
about the Houston Texans? They don't have a lot of cash.
Nope.
But
I don't know what their cash flow is like.
How about the Jacksonville Jaguars?
You took the words out of my mouth.
Sorry, I
no, that's a good job.
You wouldn't say it like you just said it.
What if you get Jimmy Garoppolo with Chip Kelly as the
Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
That would be fantasy football gold.
Jaguars.
If you got Jimmy Garoppolo with Chip Kelly as his offensive coordinator and some running back that works there, fantasy football gold next year.
Interesting prediction. All right, let's dig in here. But here, I just want to say,
took the words out of my mouth.
Let's not get sideways. We're halfway through these playoffs.
No, you don't get sideways. We wait on you.
Listen, because it matters not to any other position, but it matters when for quarterbacks to win rings.
Right?
Is Matt Ryan going to go down? He is
again.
A better version. I'm not comparing him.
Oh God, here we go. If you're saying he's a better version of someone that is inherently
better than Andy Dalton. He's better than Joe Flacco, right? We would all agree with that.
You just compared him to Joe.
What are you doing? What's happening now?
I think it's similar in the sense that
I'll just travel back in time.
Joe Flacco's not a Hall of Famer. Matt Ryan gets himself to borderline Hall of Fame status with a ring, right? Doesn't he?
I just told y'all the man paint his own picture, and then he sell it to himself.
I'm saying the stakes are high. That's what
first
I'm saying.
First, he admires it.
Yeah, he'll look at it.
I like this picture.
Yeah, I love
this.
This picture needs a parade.
Do anybody want to bid on this picture?
For the past 5 years,
I'll give myself 10 grand for that picture.
Oh, I think we're making
everyone's a creep. All right. Let's say hello now properly to number 24. He wore the black and gold for 12 glorious seasons. As a result, he now wears two rings on his fingers. Here he is, everybody, from the bayou. It's Ike Taylor.
From the bayou. Yeah. Trippy.
Ike Taylor. Trippy.
Trippy.
I like this version.
Gotta do it like this. Born in Gretna, that's in New
Orleans. Well, I sure can't dance. Holy moly, I'm horrible. Ike Taylor. Yeah.
Looking good there, Ike. Make sure you check out Ike. He's doing all sorts of work on Total Access.
Thank you.
NFL Pick'em. Make
Thank
sure you tune
in.
And
he can dance a lot better than that.
That's horrible.
I'm not. Like, my son took all that gene. Like, he can dance his butt.
Is that true?
Man, my son can dance. He just look at a YouTube and take off. Got it.
Really?
First time. Me? Mm-mm.
All right.
Not at all.
You used to be able to, and now he took it.
My two-step is I got a mean two-step. Mm-hmm. But other than that, when he talking about three and four-step.
What do you mean two-step? Is that like
move it side to side?
Just like one, square one, dancing?
No. That's what you do.
I've never square danced.
That's what you do.
Ike, what's your favorite Three Doors Down song?
Three Doors Down song?
What is that?
What is that?
They're playing at the inauguration. I don't know. Freeland?
It's like the only person. I don't even know who they are.
You don't know Three Doors Down? MVP, like, what's your favorite Three Doors Down song?
I heard they have that Superman song.
If they don't call me Superman.
Oh, I know that song.
Never heard of it.
It's going to be
Here's
rocking.
My question. You know how, like, 2 Chainz turned down playing at the inauguration? Which song would have even played?
It's a good
like,
question.
I was thinking about his whole catalog. Like,
I'm ghetto.
Nope,
it's scaring
nope.
me. I'm ghetto and scared.
That's right. That's
my
right.
life is a movie. 2 Chainz, one of my favorite rappers.
I know.
He was
I know.
I didn't
but,
know
but
he was offered
song?
To play there.
He did, but which song would he have even played? Like, it doesn't, I get, there's nothing in his
would
catalog.
Would have had it popping.
I mean, it would have been great, but I'm
put a leash on your Jaguars, drop the confetti. Let's say hello to London's own Handsome Hank.
I don't know what he took this morning. I don't know what was in that coffee.
Coffee.
From McDonald's.
You said too many because they were only a dollar.
Bro, how you get the James, bro?
Hello, Handsome. It's been too long.
It has. I haven't seen you since the Handsome Hank football program was on the line when
oh,
the Steelers
right.
played the Dolphins.
That's right. We do suddenly have to get that going. I still want to do it anyway. I think we should do one episode of the Handsome Hank football
program. On the line for that Steelers Dolphins playoff game was the winner got the podcast.
Hi, hello, and cheers, and welcome.
Did you watch that game?
Handsome Hank Gridiron.
Yeah, I watched that game.
Okay, said that.
I didn't want to watch it, but...
Presented by strawberries. And confetti.
And for this week, blueberries.
Hello, Handsome. Hey, good season for the Dolphins.
Thank you.
That's it, but that's in the
rearview
mirror.
Yeah, that's long in the rearview mirror.
It's time to look forward. Football Baby is beginning to look forward to divining who he thinks is going to win.
Football Baby, is there a stadium that Football Baby didn't get to this year? Because it feels like Football Baby was everywhere.
He was all over. I can tell you this past week he was in Australia thanks
that's
to Steve.
Stadium,
Nicholas had him in Finland.
Oh, Finland.
Chad had him in KC. Ad did Arjugan and Matt. Everybody took him to Arrowhead into enemy territory.
I hope he wrapped up well.
This one was disturbing. Look, who was this one?
Andy Reid.
Matt, I think, sent us this one. Yeah, Football Baby's head. In a Chiefs jacket, he continues to amass stamps in his ever-growing passport.
His passport is tatted up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go to @Damashek on Twitter, and you can print out or hold up the PDF there pinned to the top of my page. And take him to Foxborough. Take him to Hotlanta.
He got time in the offseason. I want to hang out with him.
Sure you can. Sure. Okay. I think he could learn a lot from Ike Taylor.
No, I know he got a connection. I want him to take him to some spots, some Finland spots and all that kind of
stuff. Get some
Finland spots. Yeah.
Take him really? To get
Australia's
some
chicken. I want to go to the Finlands and Australia's.
Okay.
All right.
See if you can find a good chicken wing spot there.
No question.
The football gods.
And them cheese be walking around in them shoestrings. Yep.
The football gods teased us a little
potatoes.
Bit. They gave us a. It was not especially an electric wild card round. Then Saturday of the divisional round, not exactly gangbuster stuff anyway, if you're a fan of tight ball games. But of course, Sunday, positively sublime. Here's what Steve Smith, though, had to say about the Steelers game. Or, in fact, about the entire Sunday. He said, Green Bay Dallas. Action-packed movie, Pittsburgh KC, a bad Sundance film. Please help.
Hmm.
How do we feel about
a little
that?
Too artsy for him.
I mean, I thought that the Packers Cowboys game is like an all-timer, but the other one was a good game. It was fun to watch. It was close. People kept saying that Alex Smith played really badly, which I didn't really at the time. I didn't think that. Now looking back at some of the tape, you saw that he missed he missed some open guys who were open down.
Tried to tell you, I just don't. I like him, but I don't love him.
Love him,
you know. Alex Smith, man, he's limited, and it's really not. It's Alex Smith and his coach Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. Like Andy Reid offense, that's just his offense. Like if you just look at him throughout the playoffs, man, his offense struggled through the playoffs. Like have no adjustments. So all you had to do was key. Did a good game plan, so they keyed on. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense, they keyed to what Tyreek Hill was at. Mm-hmm. After you found out where Tyreek Hill was at, okay, now we got action. Okay, so now you're going to use Tyreek Hill as the decoy.
Right. Out of motion.
Obviously. You're going to use him as a decoy. But it only works when you're playing man. When you're playing zone, it doesn't matter. So now you got to start running zone concepts. So what's the Andy Reid zone concepts? Again, the triangle, curl, flat, somebody up the middle. That's the West Coast offense, basic West Coast offense. And that's how they do it. You throw a few times down the field. That's not what Alex Smith does. He's not a down-the-field thrower. That's why that was so inaccurate. So now you're asking him to get out his element. Even though I did say he needed to take chances, and Kelce should have caught the ball down the middle. Would have helped him out a lot. And he threw a touchdown that got – two-point conversion, I'm sorry, that got called back because Fisher held Debo.
Right.
But at the same time, man, you just can't ask Alex to play out his element for one game, and that's just
one thing I'll say about Alex Smith that jumped out to me is, you know, he's the starting quarterback of a high-end NFL team. He's got to be able to give his receiver a chance. They went at Artie Burns two plays in a row, had their receiver singled up. First it was Macklin, then it was Tyreek Hill. And that's the situation you want if you're the QB. And they threw the deep ball into the end zone, and he just didn't give his receiver a chance
on either throw. Do you bring him back?
I've been an Alex Smith apologist for a long time, but I mean, I don't know what I mean. What's the better option?
Exactly,
it's not always the question. It's market. It's a very, very, you know, quarterbacks are really propped
up. Tony
Romo,
a healthy Tony Romo, be better. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if I mean, if you're KC, are you taking
that's not
going to
be a solution next January?
That would be a great solution. Matter of fact, I'm glad to say that would be a perfect solution.
That's an interesting thought, actually. I just walked into
you got.
I walk into the point.
If you do that, you're not going to get those guys.
You got the man to tight end, for one. So what you do is you draft you a second or third rounder in KC. You get Tony Romo. You let Alex Smith go. You still got you two wide receivers. You got an emerging Tyreek Hill. You got a boatload of running backs. By the way, my defense ain't bad either.
Pretty good.
Terrific.
Ain't bad. Right.
weird stuff seeing 50 trying to cover 84.
Loved it.
I know, but it's crazy that staff doesn't figure out an adjustment. Yeah, if they line up Antonio Brown in the slot, yeah, the best we can do is cover him with Justin Houston.
You're banking on pressure.
Yeah, I guess so, right.
That's all you're banking on. So when the pressure don't get
there. Yeah, but 50's your best pass.
Yeah,
right?
On pressure. So when the pressure doesn't get – it's an illusion. So, okay, if you think about 50, you think on third and whatever, man, he's going for the quarterback. No. So he's going to feel like he's going for the quarterback. He's going to drop back and pass. If the pressure would have got there, would have threw the ball quick and 50 is covering AB, now it would have looked good. Hmm. But we ain't talking about that because the pressure didn't get there. Now AB scramble, throws up the hand, Ben finds him. And now we're talking about, 50 shouldn't have been covering him. But if the pressure would have got there, would have threw the ball real quick to him, 50 would have picked the ball off. Now what?
Well, Mike Munchak's offensive line, and I'll tell you what, shout out to 26, because in pass pro, he's dynamite too.
Very good.
Freeland, we'll come back to the KC situation in just a second, but let's talk about the winning locker room, the visiting one. Getting a lot of heat for Antonio Brown with the Facebook Live while Mike Tomlin was talking and saying a bad word about the upcoming foe. Oh, shame the devil. I'm getting the vapors from it. How do you feel about this? Should we care about Antonio Brown doing the video in the postgame?
So if you take a step back, objectively, it probably wasn't the right thing to do. Now, he probably shouldn't have, because that's like a personal moment and there's a reason that media isn't allowed in there. But is it a sin that we should be, you know, so angry about that it's, it's an outrage and we talk about it for hours and hours? No, it's just kind of like, we all like a bonehead mistake, right? Like he's just happy. He's excited. He's got positive emotions. It's all coming from like a place of like, I love my team. I want to show you fans because I know you love this team too. Damashek, Cynthia, all, you know, he's like, I want to show you like this team's like, we like each other. It comes from a good place. It comes from like, there was no ill intent. And yes, I know intent. Some people don't care about that. I do. I think where you're coming from, but it was kind of a bonehead move.
Well, the irony of hearing Tomlin say, let's keep a low profile as it's running.
It's what stands out,
but
it's not that it's a new generation. It's social media driven. I get all that. But for AB is bro, coach doing his post game speech. Wait till he finishes his post-game speech, and then you can deliver whatever you want to deliver.
Right.
But give Coach T some respect and just listen for a couple of minutes.
Because
he's just trying to relay the message.
It just was a bonehead move.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, though.
No.
I can dig it, but
his message, zero problem with anything to do with his
You don't need a PR group anymore. Like,
Coach
you are
T,
your PR.
Coach T has apologized for his language. He said Antonio
That's
Brown
ridiculous.
Was, he said Antonio Brown was foolish for doing it, and he will be punished for doing it.
Because what they said in the locker room at that time, we're not supposed to see in
I
here.
I agree.
That's a sacred moment. That's a post-game speech. It's sacred, and we're not supposed to hear that.
That's fine, but the Patriots side of things, that this is bulletin board material?
No,
opponent made a bad word about you?
The Patriots said nothing about it.
Because the Patriots...
We're talking about it.
Willie McGinnis said this isn't bulletin board material. This is billboard material.
Well, Willie been gone for a while.
Patriots guys as well. They get all wound up about that stuff.
No,
but what incentive does this possibly provide?
Like I said, it comes from a positive place. It's a bonehead move. You shouldn't have exposed your private moment with your team.
Correct.
But anything that Coach T said is perfectly legit. In fact, I would argue if you were in 32 locker rooms after
any game, probably would have been worse.
Right. It's
probably would have been worse.
And if you think
and Belichick will have said something worse about the Steelers this week.
No question.
If you think that any single coach on the Patriots staff, any single one from the linebacker coach to the court, any single particular position coach thinks that that's important, you're mistaken. Because if they think, oh, we're going to go in there and we're going to beat them, they've had a day longer.
They did have a day longer.
But.
That's fact.
No Patriots coach is being like, oh, he should not have pointed out we have one more day than everyone else.
Right.
Uh-uh. Like, that is no-no. Like,
I think what Cynthia's saying is you need to stop perpetuating this.
No. It's a good conversation.
The thing is when – I was talking to Ryan Clark because I wanted his intake. The thing is when we played, man, our social media wasn't like how it was today.
Right.
Now, so when we played, it felt better to be like – boy, you had a good tackle. I like that tackle you did on third down. Like, that made me feel great. Going to my phone don't make me feel great. Talking to strangers don't make me feel great. I'm cool with my fans and my followers. I'm going to give it to them after the fact.
Right.
But it was more gratifying for me to be like, boy, that was good coverage on that 3rd and 6, Ike. Mm-hmm. You helped us out. When we played that, what you thought about me as a teammate, help. My homeboys back at home, when they thought about me as a homeboy, help. My family, my mom, and my sisters, what they thought about me, that made me feel good.
Right.
This didn't make me feel good at the time. I'm not looking at views.
Right.
But it's a different generation.
And also,
it just happens now.
One thing I want to point out with visiting locker rooms, Antonio Brown wasn't hiding. Like, people are like, oh, he was over in a corner, where no one could. No, visiting locker rooms, you can tell us better than anyone, right. But I like to tour stadiums. I think that's cool. They're always like.
What do you?
I think they're fun. It's when you're there. I like to get the thing you're supposed to eat and whatever. So, you know, it's like they're all configured funny on purpose, right? Because, like, it's not supposed to be comfortable for the visitors.
It's small.
You know, like Iowa, they painted their visiting the college. They painted them pink. You know, it's all like they're not supposed to make you feel comfortable and spacious and wonderful.
You ain't at home.
So he wasn't hiding. Let me
Hot
be
water's
clear.
Out.
I will say, though,
shower.
About it, I'm just annoyed by the fact that these are grand matchups. A shootout awaits in Atlanta, and then you have the Steelers trying to vanquish a team, a sports town like Pittsburgh that can claim ownership of rivals or whatever you would consider division foes like the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Penguins own the Washington Capitals and so on.
That's hockey for other people who.
All right. But the point is, it's a little weird that the city of Champions, as Pittsburghers like to call Pittsburgh, is owned by the 21st century Patriots. This is a chance to vanquish it. And instead, we're talking about a locker room video. The one thing, it just bugs me. We should only be talking pigskin. And yet, I'm about to continue to talk about these kind of locker room things.
Because you like painting your own picture and buying it. You right. like bidding now, on it and buying
I'm just surprised that no one in the locker room – wrangles all the players. Like, hey, Coach T's about to speak. You're allowed to be like, nobody's, hey, gather, to your point, Cynthia, that nobody in the locker room's like, hey, Coach T's about to talk. Do the social media in a second there,
AB.
Come gather around.
That's what Ike is saying, is that it's so new. This is kind of one of the first times that this type of thing has happened because everything is so new. Eventually, there'll be that thing. It'll be like, hey, guys, phones.
Coach T going to tell them, just leave your cars. I mean, leave your phones in the car.
All right.
Don't ever bring your
84,
phones.
Just, you know, you can preen all you want to the social media camera,
but you know
right
what
there.
Miss
but, just,
out
you know,
on?
Long as
you
he shows up in the title game.
If we didn't have it, was did you see the day before Arthur Blank talk about people who
oh, my God. Amazing. Amazing.
That was amazing. That him dance. Dancing in the locker room.
It's amazing.
I don't want to miss out on those type
of
moments.
It looked a little bit better than me.
Is like, that, I was gonna
that's
ask,
how bad I am.
Better.
That's
if
how bad.
If you had power rankings of dancers, Damashek, Ike, Arthur Blank, what order would we put them in?
Well, it would be.
Blank
all the
one.
Blank.
Blank one.
Ike I'm just two. Glad he didn't dab.
No.
I'm so glad he didn't
you
dab.
Don't want to dance off with me. Put on the three doors
we
down.
You'll probably smoke me. You'll probably smoke me.
No,
man, my dancing skills.
If I could dance like Bruno Mars, I would do it all the time. My 2-year-old, he loves the Bruno Mars and he dances to
if,
him now.
If I could dance like Chris Brown.
Yeah, I'd like to. I wish I were a good dancer. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to play like the piano.
If you, oh, that's a good question. If you could
be
good,
I can teach you how to play.
You
the
got
piano.
Those long fingers. You got those long fingers.
Yeah,
you'd
I do
be
have
a
long
piano
fingers.
Player.
Handsome. If you could be, I'm not talking about could you fly or turn invisible. If you could have a human skill, which would it that you don't
I would
possess?
Like to speak a lot of languages.
Ooh,
how many do you already speak?
I speak badly French and badly Spanish.
So
I'd like to
you're
be
already
able to speak.
At three. That's pretty good.
That's pretty
but I don't count. Yeah. It's like a quarter of each. I'd like to be able to speak.
A what of each?
A quarter of each. I'd like
the
to be able to speak.
The
25 cents of each. I'd like to be able to speak.
Buffet.
I wish I could dance, and I wish I were fast. I'd like to know what it's like to be really fast.
I'd like to be fat.
No, I've been
like
fat.
Like really fat.
No, I don't know what it's like
fat.
To run fast. I'm really. The slowest coordinated person I've ever known in my entire life. It makes me sad. Freeland, how say you?
Jump. I'd
high.
Like to know what it would be like to jump really freaking high.
Dunk?
I would love to, like, two-hand dunk.
Ooh. You'll probably go crazy if you wind up dunking, too.
All right, one more thing on locker room stuff.
Hang.
In Arrowhead. So all this
How
stuff about...
How come we don't find out from Mike what he wants?
He already could do all that stuff.
He just
it's
said.
Not fair.
He just said he'd like to be able to play music.
Yeah, I'd do it all.
You have other ones you want to do, like?
I'm good.
He's fast already. See, he's got all that.
Right.
He'd like to learn more about three doors down.
Right.
You're still fast, Ike. Now, while everybody obsesses about Antonio Brown in the locker room, what about what happened in the home team's locker room at Arrowhead? Travis Kelce, I'm going to start with you on this one, Ike. What if Odell Beckham comported himself the way Travis Kelce did on Sunday, which is to say, drops a big pass, gets a 15-yard personal foul. Again, personal. I like when penalties cross a line from being football into being personal.
That's a personal foul.
It's personal.
A nominee for most overused Sheck bit.
I don't like that.
Love it.
And that was the moment you brought that.
I love it.
I don't like that at all. And then Travis Kelce goes in the locker room and... you know, curses up a tirade and basically blames the refs for a good call. I mean,
nothing wrong with it.
I mean, Eric Fisher tackled
there
James Harrison. What do you want me
to
do?
Yeah, he didn't hold him. He tackled him.
He strangled him.
He tackled him.
And then he tackled him.
We can debate other calls in divisional round weekend, but I don't think that's one that's really all that questionable.
Right.
MVP, we do have sound to Travis Kelce. Let's take a quick look.
Do we have the
Some
bleeper?
Rude words in there.
I know. Do we have the bleeper?
Momentum's getting on our side and then just get our jugulars ripped out because ref felt bad for James Harrison falling on the ground. It's ignorance.
Just going to say floor
ref
there.
Ref number 51 shouldn't even be able to wear a zebra jersey ever again. He shouldn't even be able to work a Foot Locker.
Dang.
All right, settle down, the Fonz. Black leather.
That's my dog. I'll be hanging out with him, man. We did a few boa trips, man. I like Kelce.
Is that true?
Yeah. I like Kelce,
a
man.
A few cool. What trips?
Boa. Trips, the little
Boa.
Restaurant Boa.
Oh,
come
really?
Holler at your boy, man. I'm telling you, come mess with me.
I'd like to go to Boa with you and Travis Kelce.
Whenever you find time and your schedule is too busy,
right.
Let
I'm
me
sorry.
Know.
Listen, Ike, what if Odell Beckham behaved in this manner? Wouldn't he be getting just, you know, untold amounts of heat from the residents of Mount Pius?
OBJ have slowed down from this behavior.
Not really, but okay.
Yes.
He's punching walls and everything last we saw him.
Because he's passionate.
I have no beef with it. I don't care if you're lost after a game.
I told you, man, after that Denver game, tore a whole locker room up. I killed the locker room. Killed it. Murdered it. It was gone. it was gone. And all my teammates just let me, they leave him alone. Just leave him alone. Please leave him alone. Like I said, in the locker room about an hour and a half. Plane waited, too. Everybody sitting on the plane.
You're still like,
I'm still in the locker room.
It's still standing.
Still in the locker room. Tell these people, like, bro, we got to go. Like, bro, we got to go. But, yeah, I feel
like. This is OBJ, after the Tebow game.
After the Tebow game.
You wrecked the locker room with what? Your fists or your helmet?
Everything.
You just threw it all around.
Nah, fists.
Really?
Fists ripping everything off and everything.
Did
but
Coach
back,
T talk to you? Oh, well, I'm interested.
Nah, not at all. They
Did
respect
Dick LeBeau.
They respect the fact. Now when we dropped down, when we got back to Pittsburgh, it was like, bro, it happens. Don't worry about it. But this is what you have done for us. So stop tripping. Like it wasn't your fault. It was my fault.
So is the locker? I'm fascinated. So the locker room is dead silent. They're just because if you're throwing a tirade, typically just sort of like stand back and let it.
Yeah, they just letting Ike be Ike. Like, oh man, this like okay, we seen Ike trip before, but now he really tripping. So just leave him alone. So I think we landed, and the boys took me out to eat. I all went, drank, chilled, talked about it, talked about the whole season. And that was it. Wind up, whatchamacallit. So met with Coach T in our exit meetings, Monday or Tuesday? She flew down to Orlando, got back to working out the next day. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, this ain't ever. And then somebody on a network said something about me, and I went off on him. I don't like saying his name because I don't want to give him no props. I took off on him.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either. What? I mean, I took off on a
local or a national?
National.
Okay.
Really? Yeah, he's on there all the time with Max.
Oh.
I took clean off on him.
Wait.
You're talking about that.
Yep. Nope. He's on there with Max.
Yeah. Stephen A.
Oh. I'm like, what are you talking about? Okay.
Well, those guys have been exposed now by one of their own. As they're the WWE. It's been admitted by one of those national guys that, well, it's not about being right. It's about being compelling. In other words, you're being a WWE performer. You're not saying truth. You're just saying things that will incite attention. Handsome, let's move on here because time's running short and AJ Hawk's coming up here.
Yay.
Let's start here. Losing scenarios, we'll call this, as we go into the championship round. We'll start with the Patriots. We'll go through all four here. The Patriots will lose because of blank.
And then I just fill in the blank.
Yeah. We're speculating.
Patriots
we're going to do
will
this
lose.
For all four.
Because this goes back to, I don't even remember which, when we talked about this, whether it was in this bit or something else we did this morning. But the Patriots will lose because they're going to try and take away Le'Veon Bell, but you can't take away the whole of Le'Veon Bell because you can't take him away in the passing game. As Cynthia has pointed out with a stat that she gave us earlier on.
Freeland?
If the Patriots lose, the Patriots will lose because the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is too potent. I don't know if it's Lev or if it's Antonio Brown. Point being, the thing we saw in the Texans game that was surprising wasn't that the Texans defense was good. It was that the Texans offense could move the ball on the Patriots defense. That's what the first half was about. Their offense moved the ball. There is no question that the Steelers offense is a much, much, much better offense than the Texans offense was. So if the Steelers are able, just like we saw in the first half of that game, to just be so dynamic and able to, on each drive, see at least a field goal, if not get into the end zone, that's something that will surprise us. So the pace and the Steelers' offense will make the biggest difference in this game.
IT?
Pittsburgh Steelers' defense plays better than the Patriots' offense. 16.9 points per game, Pittsburgh Steelers' defense, for the past 8 games. Been getting 2 turnovers per game. Saying a lot. So we said, no, don't kick it to Tyreek Hill. No, we're kicking it to Tyreek Hill. And Vince Williams, go smash him when you see him. So they tried the first time. Not to kick it to Tyreek Hill. Put him in good field position in KC. You know what? Let's just start kicking it to Tyreek Hill. And y'all just start running down and making y'all money. I can't play scared. So when I keep telling you, like, Coach T doesn't live in fear, you know what? We tried it. I don't like it. Start kicking it to him. Hey, y'all better make sure he don't get past his 20. Bam. Handling your business. But their defense to it. And we was talking about this yesterday. We really haven't been talking about Cam Hayward. He's been out for a long time. You got Hargraves. You got another young guy. Tua has been balling. He probably going to wind up getting paid. Jarvis Jones, he doesn't play now. Now he's starting to James Harrison. Bud Dupree, of late, LT, Lawrence Timmons, has been balling. Mm-hmm. Sazier is getting interceptions after interceptions week to week. Artie Burns, Sean Davis, Will Gay in the slot. Like, this defense has been playing good defense. If you thought about the Kansas City Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs defense is going to outplay the Steelers defense. That's what you – now, the Steelers offense is going to play good, but the Chiefs defense is going to outplay. No. They did the same thing they did. Atlanta did the same thing how we thought Seattle defense was going to play.
But let's be clear. Mm-hmm. The New England offense and the Kansas City offense are
very different. But if you
let's be clearer. It was a close game in Pittsburgh, and Ben didn't play.
Right.
And their defense wasn't playing that good.
Jamie Collins – and I wonder if Belichick by Sunday night will rue having dealt away Jamie Collins specifically because
no way.
Well, you want him to cover 26 out of the backfield. I don't know that they have somebody.
Bro, you need a corner to cover 26. A corner.
Maybe that's true. They also really need to, as you saw the Texans do, they're better at pass rushing than the Steelers are. But once again, it's an age-old truth with Brady. If you can get to him a little bit, he does not like getting knocked around. Nobody does, but he really, and Peyton Manning also, those guys for all-time greats do not like guys in their midst. They don't like them in their in close proximity. All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers will lose because...
You mean?
Go ahead.
The Pittsburgh Steelers will lose if they don't make... Because you know that the Patriots will have something planned for them, so they need to make good adjustments, whether it's at halftime or before that. If they can't adjust to whatever it is that Belichick's cooked up for them, then they won't win the game.
Ike.
Can I take my leave, please, Dave?
Oh, yes. Handsome, you got to go?
I got to go.
All right. All the best.
It's been a wonderful time being with the three of you. Well,
ditto for all of us. Drop
all right, handsome.
All right. Ike.
Boswell ain't going to cut it in this game. You need sevens.
Uh-huh.
You need touchdowns. You know, Boswell did cut it. I mean, you played a okay Andy Dalton earlier in the season. Boswell got you out of Cincinnati. You played a okay Alex Smith in the playoff. Boswell got you out of Cincinnati. Boswell can't get you out Pittsburgh on this one. You playing Tom and company. So when you get in that red zone, you need 6 points, not threes.
I think, and you talked about this earlier, the Steelers' offensive line has been underrated, right? I think they're maybe the third best O-line in the National Football League. That's kind of, you know, over the season. If their O-line doesn't play how they've been playing, you know, I think first four games they had kind of, it wasn't as great. If they don't play how they've been playing.
In the playoffs
and leading into it, then that will be the difference maker with.
That's a good point because So they smashed Miami, the O-line.
Yes.
Had their own will on them. Come right back to Kansas City. Smashed Kansas City.
Yep.
Had their will on them. If they can do the same thing. Right. And
so I think if the O-line doesn't play like we've seen them been playing, then the Steelers lose.
I just think this is a abstract kind of a thought, I guess. But they've got to limit or eliminate those really quick. The Patriots sort of, at the end of a game – how did they get to that? How did they get that mark? They get these touchdowns that almost feel like a mirage, you know, like it takes them 45 seconds. So they just squeeze in an extra seven somewhere along the way. That's sort of like, wow, man, that felt close, but now we're down 11 all of a sudden.
You're onto something there.
They have to limit that. I don't know how you limit that, but if that happens to the Steelers, then they're going to be in some jeopardy. But like you say, Ike, I think also this is, you know, again, this game comes down to seven in my book. It's not about 26 as much. Roethlisberger has to make a couple of big plays so that they can keep pace, assuming that the Patriots are going to put up a legitimate point total. It's not going to be enough to scratch out, you know, 20 in this one. They're going to have to keep pace with that Brady offense. All right, the Falcons will lose, Freeland, because.
Oof. The Falcons will lose. I mean, if their defense doesn't come up with a way to slow Aaron Rodgers down. You're not going to stop Aaron Rodgers. You can slow Aaron Rodgers down. Now, we saw he had this streak that was going, you know, over 200 passes, a very long streak, his longest of his career, without throwing an interception. We saw that kind of get stopped in Dallas. We saw a little bit, you know, the balance of, like, their run to pass, they had to play very fast, so they had to pass more, which is kind of counter to the way they've been winning games in as they've been grinding it out in their win streak, right? They've been relying more on the run game in their win streak. In games in the regular season, about 116 yards on the ground in games they won, only 88 or 89 in games they've lost. So the ability to balance their offense more, they didn't have that in the Cowboys, and they still were able to put up points. So it was very impressive. If they don't slow them down, it's going to be drive. It's not going to be a game where you're able to let Aaron Rodgers put up 35 and then you somehow score 36, even though that's kind of how we've seen the Falcons play. They need to slow Aaron Rodgers down.
Ike.
The Falcons lose if their defense don't play like how they played against Seattle. I mean, even though the Seattle offense isn't like Aaron Rodgers and company offense, but still, their defense has been playing good ball. I think, so we talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line being underrated. You got to start giving Atlanta Falcons defense some props.
Agreed.
Them boys been playing good ball. So I haven't been giving them props. Just looking at the last couple of games, I need to start giving them props.
Yeah.
If their defense play like how they played against Seattle, they will win. If they don't, they will lose.
I hear you. A.J. Hawk is coming up on the line here in just a second. I'll say for the Packers, I'll handle this one. If you want to chime in, Cynthia or Ike, please do. I feel like the Packers, they can't allow, to your point about Mike Daniels and what that front's been doing against the run, they've got to slow down Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. I mean, if they turn it into a shootout, give me 12 over 2. That's, I mean, if you can get it.
I don't think we can say that right now.
I'm saying if you can get it into tit for tat, I'll take Rodgers at the end of the day.
In a shootout overall, I would take Rodgers. In a shootout in 2016 season,
in this game
post
game, against this, yeah.
I would take
two. I hear you, but to Cynthia's point, I think that, yes, I think that the home team is going to want to spin the clock a little bit and run the ball to keep possessions away
and
from Rodgers. If the Packers defense says, we're not going to let you run the ball, then it does become a shootout. And like I say, I'll take the best of all time.
I like two, man.
Wait, Elway's coming back? Just kidding. I like two
at home.
Ike, great stuff. Cynthia, great stuff. Handsome Hank, the dearly departed, great stuff out of him. Speaking of great, here he comes, everybody. One of our favorites, A.J. Hawk.
A.J.
Well, of course, if you've listened to the Dave Dameshek football program for any amount of time, this man needs no introduction. But since I assume, if you're not my mother, you aren't familiar with the Dave Dameshek football program. So let's introduce him now. He is the longtime linebacker of the Green Bay Packers. He wears a ring on his finger. As a result of that, he toiled for the Bengals and for the Falcons. And most importantly now, he is the host of his own podcast, Hawkcast. Oh, it's star-laden. It's lousy with A-listers, but he's one himself here in Studio 66. That's why his jersey hangs behind me on the digital screen there. It's A.J. Hawk. What's the poop, fella?
I don't know. It's been a while, Dameshek. I see you're blowing up everywhere. I can barely get in contact with you anymore.
Please.
So I'm glad producers and assistants reached out to me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I had my people contact you. I thought that was for the best, given the stakes this weekend. Of course, you played for those Green Bay Packers. Like I say, you spent a few weeks in Atlanta this year with Dan Quinn and company wearing that red jersey. But how's life, more importantly? How's everything going for you, Hawk?
Everything's great, man. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. The Buckeyes took a tough loss against Clemson, but
yeah.
I guess Clemson went on, win it all. But no, everything's going well, man. I'm just hanging out in Ohio, staying fertile, trying to produce some kids. So I have a fourth on the way. I know you have four as well. So I'm trying to join the club.
You know, we like to sometimes tell dad jokes here on the show. If you have any, please feel free to share them. This is the place to do it.
There is no good dad jokes.
No, indeed. No, indeed. Hey, mazel tov to you on number four on the way. Yeah, that Ohio State game. I guess Clemson it turned out to be pretty good. Isn't it funny that the one team that beat them all year was the Pitt Panthers?
Yeah, how weird is that? How happy were you? I mean, just pure grit and just toughness down there in Pittsburgh. And look
That's
at your
right.
Steelers. Are your Steelers going to beat the Patriots? I assume you might ask about this.
Hawk, listen, you're the analyst. You're the expert on these matters. I'd like you to weigh in here. I do think it's interesting. Why is it that Bill Belichick, it's because it's it's sort of paradoxical in that you always hear, well, Belichick's a genius, you see. He figures it all out. And here's what he'll do. He'll take away the most dangerous weapon on the other team. So then that equals that he's going to try and take away 26, right? But how do you do that practically against the Steelers when they also have Antonio Brown? Can you realistically and practically, can you double-team Antonio Brown and take away Le'Veon Bell? Can you stack that up? You always hear eight-man box, you know? The way that offensive line's playing in Pittsburgh, too, I'm inclined to think that I hearken back to the Patriots and Rams Super Bowl. They took away Marshall Faulk. They decided that wasn't going to be what killed him, and he was basically irrelevant in that game. How do the Patriots stop this Steelers offense here?
Well, I mean, those are the two guys you have to find a way to stop. You're not going to stop them. You just have to – the Patriots have to find a way to contain those two guys. And Le'Veon Bell, you can put eight in the box. It doesn't really matter. I mean, a lot has been said of his – what do they call it? His stutter step, his mm-hmm. pause, whatever he's doing, pausing. He's an amazing player. But Antonio Brown, no matter what you do, even when you try to double that guy, they do such a good job, and Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator, of moving him around, getting him to like little two-man stacks, three-man bunches to where you can't jam him off the line. And he's so good, it's really hard to double a guy once he's already in motion. And that guy has such breakaway speed and then the quickness to go with it. It's a joke. You can't take them both away, but you can try to keep an eye on them both. But they're going to make plays still, no matter what.
Does he appear to you to be the hardest running back to tackle, or who was the hardest running back to tackle for you?
Well, I mean, definitely one of the most elusive. He's a great combination of being super elusive with great power, too. He runs behind his pads, and it's really tough to get down, but he's hard to even find him because he has such patience that he's one of them. I mean, he's not like one of the huge bruisers like a guy like Marshawn Lynch. I mean, I have huge respect for him. He is such a monster. Trying to tackle him was rough. And Adrian Peterson, I always go back to him. I played him twice a year for many, many years, and he is just runs like he's on fire and never wants to be tackled.
I would think so. Yeah, you don't want to – it's embarrassing to whiff on a guy, but I would think it's way worse to play against a guy who just is looking to hammer you, who is not afraid of the contact. In fact, he seeks it. But let's jump to the other game here, the big one, because this is really the Hawk Bowl in a way. Kinda. Now, you spent a lot of time with those Packers, obviously, and we talked about it. I call the 2014 NFC title game. I hate to bring it up almost even. It almost seems mean-spirited at this point. It is the most painful loss, I would think, for a fan base and probably for a guy who played in the game that I've ever seen in my life. And that's not hyperbole. I'm going to go through it, but the eight things in the second half that happened, if only one of them goes your way, you guys are playing in that Super Bowl 49, but it didn't happen. But did you feel watching the game on Sunday like, uh-oh, here it's happening again?
No, I didn't at all, actually. I had ultimate confidence in Aaron and in the Packers, and I think the play that really put me over the top was towards the end of that last drive before he completed that ball to Jared Cook, when the safety, the last name Heath, I believe, came in scot-free, sacked Aaron from behind. The fact that Aaron somehow held on to that ball and did not fumble was, I mean, whatever you want to call it. I was like, oh, here we go. I told my wife right away, I was like, he's going to complete a ball deep out of bounds and give Mason a shot. And I know Mason's good from 68 yards. And so after that play, I knew right then, game over.
You are the Rodgers whisperer, man, because you do get that. You've described before that you get a weird calm watching Rodgers. You know when he's going to pull it off. That throw, though, man, is that the best? Where does that rank for you among Rodgers' best passes that you've seen?
It's definitely up there, no doubt, especially when you take into account like the time, like the situation that he made that throw in. It's up there in like the top five. I don't know. It's hard to – how do you pick just one? It's like picking your favorite kid. You can't really do that.
Now, you've been around. I've said this over the last week or so. But if Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers are such a strong brain trust, why don't they just throw the Hail Mary play every play? It seems like that would just go for it. It's unstoppable, clearly.
You might as well. Either they're going to catch it or you're going to get a pass interference. That's it's going to be a spot foul ball in the 1 yard line. So I would throw it more often. I really would.
When McCarthy decides his day to go off and retire to the banks of the Three Rivers in Pittsburgh comes for him. He's a Pittsburgh native, of course. Maybe you and I, you could be the DC. I'll be the OC because I have a lot of good ideas about offensive philosophy.
This is in Green Bay?
Sure.
What are you going to do when you play Pittsburgh?
I mean, you got the reins that week. You know,
okay, yeah, I figured it out.
I'll recuse myself from that.
There's no chance. Your mom would disown you, Damashek. You know that.
She doesn't care as much as I do. But all right. So now the Packers move on. Rodgers has the hot hand. We see that. I do. I mean, I'm surprised that they could get out of Dallas because Jordy Nelson wasn't out there. But you know, Rodgers just sublime right now. What about the Falcons, though? What did you pick up from Dan Quinn and Matt Ryan and that crew about, you know? Matt, it feels like, in a way, Matt Ryan's on his way to getting the MVP this year, and yet, out of the four quarterbacks left here, I feel Matt Ryan is the guy who has something, who has the most to prove, in a way.
Yeah, he probably does. The other guys, their legacy is not set, but it's pretty well down the road. And a guy like Matt Ryan, it definitely, if he can find a way to get the Super Bowl and win that thing, then he is, I mean, he's certified, as what Kevin Garnett said when they won the championship in Boston, for forever. And that's been his whole knock going into this year. He was 1-4 and going into or in playoff games. So yeah, if he can find a way to do it, regardless, if he wins the MVP and they don't win the Super Bowl, it's still a great year, but it still doesn't put him over the top for legacy wise, I guess.
Well, as we talk about this, if you're watching us, NFL.com/DDFP, we're going to be running some 2010, some highlights from the Packers' win against the Falcons back in 2010 when Rodgers last got that hot hand and ran the table in January and early February. We've debated this before about Andy Dalton specifically, but in general, did you, actually, let's make it specific to Matt Ryan. Did you perceive in your month around the facility and everything else in the midst of him having a great 2016, is he a guy who cares about legacy? We've talked about you've said to me, oh, guys don't care about that. That's more for dopes like you, Dave. But I refuse to believe it. Of course, Matt Ryan has to care how he's regarded. He has to care about, not like, I just want to ring for this organization. He must care about it, what it means to him as an individual.
I mean, I'm sure he does at some level, but it definitely doesn't show. He's not a guy, he's a very confident guy where he's not relying on outside people to give him his self-worth or value. I know he doesn't feel that way. I think he's competing with himself every single day to try to get better. But yeah, I think also if he's the quarterback that finds a way to lead the Falcons to a Super Bowl victory, then yeah, that whole team goes down in the history books forever in that facility. And you saw Arthur Blank dancing after their game last time. Like maybe it just takes a little bit of pressure off of guys. It's like a young kid, let's say it's a golfer, and this golfer wins a major when he's 24 years old. That's a huge weight off their back when you want to be considered like elite. Look at the guy, what Phil Mick was trying forever to get a major, and they think, yeah, he's just not really, until he wins a major, you can't really put him in that upper echelon of guys. And I think Matt is in that upper echelon, but I guess a ring would just give him complete validation to where you could never really question that again.
That's the thing for me. I feel like it probably doesn't make a difference if you're 24 and you're early in your career. But at this point, there's no way Matt Ryan doesn't hear people citing what you just cited. He's 1-4 going into the postseason and into this postseason. So now he's 2-4. Certainly, he's aware that there is a narrative out there like, well, Matt Ryan, he's very good, but he can't get over the hump. Doesn't that have to knock around in your head? If you're Clayton Kershaw, doesn't Clayton Kershaw know that that's the knock on him? So when he steps out onto the mound in October, that he's thinking like, uh-oh, I don't want this to happen. You know, I don't want to blow this one.
I'm sure at times it definitely does. It crosses their mind. It would cross Matt's mind, I'm guessing. I don't think he's the kind of guy that lets it bother him, or he doesn't have anxiety and stay up at night thinking about that. But I'm sure just on an individual level, he wants to prove to himself that, yeah, I can win the whole thing. I can win the big game. He's proven that last playoff game against Seattle. I mean, that was absolutely impressive on both sides of the ball. So I think that was a great first step for him, going in and really dominating the Seahawks for four quarters. So now we have a gigantic test. I mean, it's these two games, the AFC and NFC Championship game. Are you kidding me? I mean, Patriots, Steelers, Packers against the Falcons, who are playing their offense is one of the greatest ever this year, and their defense is playing better. So This is going to be a fun Sunday.
I know. So go ahead and lay it on me. Who's going to be in Houston in 2.5 weeks?
That's a good question. So I would love to see the Steelers win. I'm not too far from Pittsburgh, but I don't think they can go into Foxborough and get the victory. So At least if Ben, maybe if Ben's 100%, they have a better chance. But Ben's never, he takes so many shots that he's always dinged up a bit. But I'd say Patriots, I think, will take down your guys. It's going to be tough. And then I can't pick against the Packers right now. I mean, the way they're playing, Aaron is absolutely out of his mind. Their defense is playing well. So I think they find a way to get some pressure on Matt Ryan and get some turnovers. Boom. Packers take it.
Packers and the Patriots. I mean, listen, it'll be hard for me to be there this close. I'm 60 away, Hawk. You know, I'm just 60 away from the big one.
Yeah, but think about it, though. I also think, on an unrelated side note, I know, well, it's actually very related, but you, I guess you guys, the NFL owns your NFL Network, but think about it, Damashek. Does the NFL want Patriots Packers or Patriots Falcons? What do you think?
Well, I certainly think they would rather have – yeah, I mean, I have no question that they'd rather have Packers playing the Patriots 12-v-12 for the title of best quarterback of the 21st century. And I do think if Rodgers were to beat Brady head-to-head, that then that conversation would flip all of a sudden. This notion that Brady's the best of all time would be called into question if Rodgers took him down. If Rodgers gets a second ring, I mean, obviously, if you use your eyes, Rodgers is the best quarterback anybody's ever seen. People want to – the people who always accuse me of counting rings are suddenly now turning – well, Brady's obviously better. He's won those four Super Bowls. Well, all right. There's more in more goes into it than just that. Anyway, Hawk, the Hawk cast, how does everybody track it down?
You can check it out on iTunes if you want to listen just to the audio. But if you want to watch some video of great guests like Dave Damashek was on, I don't know, 6, 8, 10, 12 months ago.
Oh, please. I haven't been on in 3 years.
No, it wasn't that long ago. But, yeah, you can watch the Hawkcast.show is the website. It's on YouTube and all that. But
that's when it was like – I'm like one of the early records when it was on an indie label. Now that it's gone major label, Damashek has no use.
No way. That's the thing. I'm on my own, man, always. We're not being attached to anybody. I don't want anyone dragging me down or trying to censor me, just like you, Damashek.
That's right. That's right. Hey, by the way, real quick, Steve Mariucci, I asked him about I said, you know, A.J. Hawk once told me that he, in cold Lambeau games, would put his helmet into the sauna to warm it up at halftime. He said, oh, that's nothing. That's child's play. I used to, this is Mariucci talking about the Favre years and everything else. He said, when it was cold, I would conduct the quarterback meetings in the sauna at halftime.
That's a great idea.
Isn't that great? And he said he would have Detmer. Yeah. He said Detmer was the third stringer, so he was the guy who got the short straw and had to pour the water over the rocks to make the steam. But he said it ultimately wouldn't work because you would get a weird little mist on your face, which warmed you up, but then you'd go back on the field and it would freeze. So it ultimately was a loss. But for a little while, it felt good, he said.
That's good. Yeah, short-term success or feeling good, I guess. Yeah, think about it. That would freeze all – your whole shirt would just freeze to you when you went back outside.
Yeah, so you're all sweaty, yeah.
Love the idea. I'm glad I didn't have to pour the rocks over there and have a linebacker meeting.
Hawk, I feel like I want to pat both of us on the back because this was a pretty professional conversation. We talked about pro football. We talked we dipped our toe into the X and O water a little bit there. How about after the Super Bowl? Then we start kibitzing about what really matters once again. Let's start talking about movies and TV and all that jazz.
I'm with you, man. I've been following finding some great new shows lately, so I can't wait to talk to you about it, and we will talk about some of the fun stuff here after the Super Bowl.
Beautiful. All right, Hawk. Mazel tov to you and the missus on the ever-growing family there in Ohio. Mazel tov on the great work. This is a man, everybody. You know what I do well? I call my shot. I call who's headed for the stars. A.J. Hawk, headed for the stars in the world of broadcasting. Watch out for this fella. See, that's why we hung his jersey early, so we can take credit in part for your rise to great fame. Look out, Collinsworth.
Look out, Regis and Kathy Lee. I'm coming.
You and me. Yeah, we could be the new Regis and Kelly. That'd be great.
Who would be? Dave and – I don't know. We'll figure our name out.
Damahawk.
Two Pittsburgh kids.
To Pittsburgh? You're not from Pittsburgh.
So I could at least act like it. Grow a beard. I'll dye my hair black.
Why would we make such a weird claim that we're both from Pittsburgh? All right. Damahawk coming at you probably about summer 2017. Meantime, let's get together in Houston, Texas, hopefully in a week or so, A.J. Hawk.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, man.
The Hawkcast, everybody. Track it down. That's it for the Dave Damashek football program. We'll yap with you A couple days from now, we'll tell you who's going to win those two title games. Oh, I'm already getting nervous. All right, in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.